We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I are going to have another conversation. I hope you eavesdrop on each of our conversations every week right here on Prophecy Today, because we discuss issues that you need to have a biblical basis for your understanding of the issue that we talk about. Thank you for joining us, dear friends. And David, let's get underway with our conversation. Back in 2012, the outspoken atheist Richard Dawkins caused quite a stir when he made the statement that parents are guilty of child abuse if they teach their children that their personal religious views are the correct ones. And it came to our attention this last week that as early as 2013, one of Dawkins' friends began saying that teaching creationism to children rather than evolution is also child abuse. Explain this.
Well, you're exactly right. As you know, I do a lot of research every day, and I follow a lot of different links, and I run across a lot of different things. Turns out that this friend of Richard Dawkins, a man named Lawrence Krauss, who is a theoretical physicist and professor at Arizona State University, and he also spends summers at an observatory in Australia, and the video I ran across was a seven-minute segment on an Australian talk show from last month. And he was saying that teaching children creationism is equivalent to child abuse. And in some previous interviews, he even said that it's really no different than Taliban tactics. And he uses this kind of language all the time. In a debate against William Lane Craig that I saw, he was extremely inflammatory, to the point if a Christian had used this language, he probably would have been accused of hate speech.
Hate speech. Wow, that is a pretty strong statement. Well, although we usually deal with things concerning the present and the future, I know that your personal interest in creationism goes back a long time, doesn't it?
Well, it actually does. My undergraduate training is in engineering, and so I fully believed in evolution until I was 26 years old. And had my own philosophy of life, and a friend of mine shared the gospel with me, and it really changed everything about my views about God and the Bible.
And when you had that change of life, your mind was changed, you accepted creationism and rejected evolution. Give us some reasons, including the Word of God, that caused that to come about, since you have an engineering background.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, it was only the Word of God, and I believe the indwelling Holy Spirit convicting me, that I went from actually drinking alcohol 3 or 4 hours every night to reading the Bible 3 or 4 hours every night, and I started in Genesis, and I simply accepted it as being true because it was there. In fact, I remember a conversation I had with my wife, who was saved a couple of weeks later. She said, "You really believe that these stories in Genesis were true?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And it was actually later that I read books like the Genesis flood and other things. So actually, it was the Word of God and the Spirit that changed my mind.
Boy, that's a great thought. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, who wrote that Word, who lived now within you as a born-again Christian, revealing what the Word of God really means. All Scripture by given by inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit, who then teaches us about what God's Word says. That's a precious testimony, David. Well, certainly not all scientists would agree with Dawkins or Krauss, and there seems to be a growing number of scientists who advocate for intelligent design. Talk about that.
Well, you're right. It sort of started a little bit back in 1985. There was a book by a man named Michael Denton called Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, and he began questioning evolution as an evolutionist. But Michael Behe, in 1996, wrote a book, Darwin's Black Box, and that probably was really what kick-started the intelligent design movement. And his thoughts were that there are biological mechanisms for which there is no possible evolutionary path, such as blood clotting. And he talks about irreducible complexity, and he uses a mousetrap analogy, saying that if you remove any single part of a mousetrap, it no longer functions. So it has to be put together and designed.
However, David, there is a difference, would you not say, between the intelligent design movement and creationism itself?
Well, there is. There are those who try to tie the two together, but the difference is that intelligent design movement doesn't really argue or tries not to argue for the God of the Bible, whereas creationism might use some of the same arguments but relies on Scripture as the final authority and interprets the evidence. We all have access to the same evidence, but creationism interprets the evidence in light of Revelation.
You know, I remember a statement I heard Dr. John Whitcomb say, a good friend of yours and mine as well, and here on Prophecy Today, we often have him on the broadcast. He said, the problem with simply intelligent design is that it has no intelligent designer, and that has to be God, and that's basically what you said. Well, when we talk about creationism, not all creationists believe the same thing, either, do they? Even among those who are more or less evangelical in their beliefs.
Well, unfortunately, that's also true. There are those who hold to, everybody's heard the term theistic evolution, the idea that God actually guided evolution, which is completely contrary to the Scriptures. There are those who teach progressive creationism, like Hugh Ross, who would say that God intervened in history at different points and actually created things. But you and I and many others believe that the Bible teaches young earth creationism. And so, you know, the question is, are we going to rely on reason, or are we going to rely on revelation from the one who has all knowledge?
Let's go back just for a moment, David, to the claims of child abuse by parents who raise their children to believe that God exists and that he is the creator. What's driving this kind of rhetoric?
Well, from my research, it looks to me like it's just like the LGBT or homosexual agenda. It's actually to bring fundamental change at the cultural level, at the societal level, and across the globe. For example, Dr. Lawrence Krauss also directs something called the Origins Project at Arizona State. And under the About section, he has three primary goals or functions. And the third point is that the Origin Project partners with scholars to transform pre-K through 16 education. So ultimately, they're looking for legislation to be demanded and laws passed.
Well, is this not the reason that we see the battle going on in the public school system, especially? Not in the Christian school system, but the public school system is demanding that everybody be taught evolution. They're calling it fact instead of a theory like it is, are they not?
That's exactly right. And if you look at the scientific model, and again, with my background in engineering, evolutionary theory is exactly that. It's a theory. It doesn't meet the tests of scientific proof to make it a fact.
It seems to me that this theism versus atheism and the creationism versus evolution debates aren't going to go away, but it seems that they are going to continue to heat up. Why is that the case?
Well, actually, when you look at the quotes from some of these guys, there's a real militancy to it. It's not unlike extremely radical religious fundamentalists in any religion. For example, Dawkins says that the God of the Old Testament, these are just a few of the things he says about him, that he's petty, unjust, unforgiving, a control freak, bloodthirsty, that he's homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, he's a malevolent, sadomasochistic bully. It's really terrible.
It is indeed, and they're the ones they're threatening the fact to go after Christian parents who are teaching their children what God's Word says, which is recorded in Genesis chapter 1, the fact of creation and what did happen. Well, these men certainly have a lot of influence, David, and what they're doing seems going far beyond just mocking God, and we all one day will stand before him. They better be paying attention, had they not.
Well, that's exactly true. You know, the best thing that we can do, and it's always the best thing that we can do, is to pray, and pray specifically for these influential men who are leading the academic charge, the academic side of this charge, and trying to use that to influence legislation.
And would you say, since your background is indeed in engineering, would you say Take your children to God's Word. Don't try to fight the battle against these evolutionists. Use God's Word. Use the positive. Use the correct. Instead of trying to explain all the false truth that they're getting out there in the evolutionary world.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting that Dr. Krauss is actually Jewish, and that one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy 6, called the Shema, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And one of the highest priorities of God is for parents to teach their children that God exists and his ways and his laws and his character.
I guess we have to conclude with what we always do, looking at God's Word. Do you see future prophetic significance concerning accepting or rejecting what the Bible says about the past and in particular creation?
Well, absolutely, because we know in the future there's going to be a new creation. There's going to be a new heavens and new earth, and God is going to destroy this world and this universe by fire, and he's going to recreate. Also, the resurrection is tied to this. Even the gospel itself is tied to this. And prophetic fulfillment. If things were fulfilled literally in the past, they'll be fulfilled literally in the future. And so we have to be spiritually prepared, and that's what the Word of God tells us.
Yes, I would say you have to believe what God's Word says about creation, Genesis chapter 1, or the other alternative would be throw the Bible away. Would you not say that?
Well, absolutely, and it actually cuts to the heart of the gospel, and not just Genesis 1, but chapters 2 and 3 as well, and in chapters 3 we see the fall of man. And if there was no original Adam and Eve, then there was no fall, and if there was no fall, there's no need for a Redeemer. And if there's no need for a Redeemer, then Jesus is not the Savior.
Wow. That's the bottom line, folks, and it's based upon what God's Word has to say. David, always a great conversation with you again this week as well. Thank you for your research. We'll do this again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy.